is Uweball. If you want to help support the podcast on this network, go to rogueintel.com/support. Thank you and go fuck yourself.
Warning. The following show contains harsh language and may contain certain content, opinions, and or explicit humor that might be interpreted as objectionable by those without a thick skin. This show is recommended for a mature audience.
Welcome to Prime, episode number 88 for Wednesday, October 14th, 2015. I'm your host, Duff, and with me, I've got some pretty rad people. We've got Josh Stokes. What's up, brother?
What up, man? How's it going?
You know, it's just been another week. What can I say?
I can dig it. All my people, what's up?
We've also got D. Homburg. What's up, D.?
Oh, God, I hate when my last name is said.
Well, how would you like to refer yourself as?
I thought we discussed this last week. I'm now known as D's Nuts. My last name is not Nuts. I
thought that was... So your last name is Znuts?
Yeah.
All right. I guess we can work with that.
Z is actually her middle name.
DZ Nuts. All right, I guess we can work on that. We've also got the drummer and 50% of the band Color Grave. We've got Rob B. in the house.
What's going on? I'm actually changing my last name to Rob Homburger.
So. There we go. The yeah. Homburger.
Yes, that's right. Rob Homburger, no. So.
Well, I'm glad you're with us tonight. Tell us a little bit about your band.
Sure, yeah. Thomas and I are Color Grave. It's just two guys, and we met last year in a studio. So we had a mutual friend had a recording project, and he hired Thomas to write some vocals and hired me to play drums. And when I heard Thomas's voice through the studio booth, I'm like, holy shit, I gotta work with this guy. Wow. So we met in the studio and just took it from there. You know, the week after, I was like, man, let's go get some beers, let's go hang out, let's go write some music. Yeah. And from there is history. We've just been cranking out tunes, and it's been so fucking fun. It's great.
Awesome, man. Sounds pretty fucking fun, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's crazy. So we have a crazy, crazy background. He actually went to school for singing opera and theater, so he sang in like an a cappella group, sang in a metal band, sang in a hip-hop band. He toured with an a cappella band. And then I grew up playing jazz and classical. And then when I was young, my buddy took me to a hardcore show, and I fell in love with hardcore and metal, so I started playing a bunch of punk and hardcore bands and toured for like 6 or 7 years playing drums for a bunch of different bands and moved back to Boston. Sweet. And just serendipitously, you know, Thomas and I just met up in a studio and said, let's write some music, man, you know?
So awesome, dude. That's nice. What I'm talking about, man. So you guys have just been playing for like your whole lives.
Yeah, for sure.
It's tight, man. That's really so. What are like some of you guys' influences like? Because it seems like the two of you guys have like two totally different things that you bring to the table as a band. So, like, what do you think it is like that kind of, you know, makes your sound mesh?
Yeah, you know what's weird? It's so fucking cliche, but we really listen to everything. You know, we went to a Dillinger Escape Plan show the other day.
Okay.
And then it's just like off the wall metal. And then we were just talking about Stevie Wonder, the songs, you know, in the Key of Life.
Right.
And then we were talking about like the new, you know, the latest Daniel Johns from Silverchair shit. It's like, so like, sweet. It's hip hop, R&B, metal, pop, whatever. Like, we just love fucking music. So we just.
I totally dig that. Because that's what I feel like the world is eventually going to turn into, like one huge melting pot of like everything. So sure. I feel like that's actually pretty cool. And it's not even anything that you have to predominantly do, but just to have it, like a little bit of everything is dope.
Yeah. So the long term, you know, for Color Grave, and I guess what Color Grave means is, you know, we associate all of our pasts with a different color, you know, playing in a metal band or this kind of band. And Color Grave really means there's no genre and no limit, you know. So right now, we're kind of like this indie electronic band, but we've been playing with a live bass player and a live drummer, and I've been playing guitar live. So we're like, well, so maybe the next year and the next, you know, formation of Color Grave is going to be like this four-piece alternative band, and then maybe we'll do some funk and soul. Like, who gives a shit? Just write good music. You know what I mean?
Go for it, man. Nice. Why not? No boundaries.
So you, Rob, you've got a new single out with Color Grave. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what went into that, and then we'll go ahead and play it.
Yeah, for sure. So the latest single we released is actually a cover by a band called Tears for Fears.
Who are they?
And this band from the 80s, man, making me show my age, damn. So this song just turned 30 years old this year.
Wow.
And I remember, you know, listening to the song as a little kid, crying like a little bitch because the song was so beautiful. I'm like, you know, this song is amazing. And I would hit that on loop all the time. But back then, there was no CD player, so it was just play, rewind for 30 seconds and then play it again. It's bullshit. So we wanted to cover So we wanted to cover the song just because the melody is so fucking dope. The song's cool. And, you know, if you still listen to that song now, it still means something. It's still a well-written song. So yeah, we wanted to invite one of our vocalist friends, Nicole from the band Orchids, to come sing along as well. So we gave her the first verse and the first chorus, and Thomas took the second verse, second chorus, and let them just kind of play at the end together. So that's the single, and it's getting a lot of good buzz. You know, a couple of blogs picked it up and have been pushing it, and actually got an email from SoundCloud the other day saying, hey, you guys are at the download limit for the song, so you got to upgrade if you want people to just keep on downloading your song. I'm like, shit, that's awesome, but that sucks.
Right.
Yes. So it's doing well. It's picking up steam, and you know, we're just gonna keep on releasing singles until we die, man. That's it.
Do nice. Your thing, bro.
Yeah.
Go for it, man.
All right. Well, I am a huge fan of Tears for Fears. Songs from the Big Chair is one of the best albums of the 80s. And I am a child of the 80s. So I as soon as I saw you guys did this cover, I was like, I am in love. I need to get you guys on the show. And, well, here you are.
Right on.
So without further ado, let's check out Color Grave's cover of Head Over Heels.
Breathing cleaner and dreaming of
Wow.
Wow, indeed. That was great, man.
Love.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
That was awesome, man.
Yeah.
You guys have some great voices, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Technically, that's not me. I don't do any of that. I
play. That isn't you?
So what I do is, so Colorgrave is two people, right? Thomas sings, and I do all the instruments and production.
Man, it was well put together, man.
Very well. Now, my only gripe with the song, and it's very small, but where the fuck is Broken?
Oh, yeah, you know, we thought about that. We thought about that.
I mean, you'd have to do it live, which is a little awkward.
Yep. You know, it's... we don't know where that is. I have no good answer. I'm just fishing for excuses right
it's
now.
All good, it's quite man. All right. I got to say, the chat room has lit the hell up. Some of the comments we've been getting is Kaber in the chat room says, I love that they did it as a duet since that's how the original was between the two members of Tears for Fears. Excellent call on their part. Mama B says, what a voice.
Yeah, Mama B.
Thank you, Mom. We appreciate that. We appreciate that a lot.
So, you don't look like you're a child of the 80s. Is Thomas a child of the 80s?
Thomas is a child of the 80s, and I know that for sure because we just booked flights to go to L.A., and I had to ask him for his birthday, and he's like, here's my birthday. I'm like, oh shit, you are from the 80s.
Well, that does explain a lot, because Tears for Fears meant very, very little after the 1980s. Now, of course, for people who were brought up on the 80s music, we'll always love Tears for Fears for who they were. But picking a song from Tears for Fears, I mean, looking at the album cover from Songs from the Big Chair, it screams like, I mean, two guys with a perm. Come on.
Sure. Yeah, you know, we thought about Everybody Wants to Rule the World. We thought about Sowing the Seeds. We thought about a couple different songs, but...
I am so glad you didn't do Everyone Wants to Rule the World.
Yeah, because we'd be in a laundry list of everyone else who's done it before, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, like, not to get all music geeky on you, but, you know, if you look at the song from a melody and... chord structure perspective, it's really unique, you know. It is. The chords don't make sense, the melody shouldn't sound that good over those weird chords, and the structure is not typical either, you know. When they wrote it, you know, in terms of like music production, it's always verse chorus bridge chorus, but they went, you know, for an extra long verse, went to a half chorus, went to another verse, had a pre-chorus, and then they just had this really weird twisted setup to the song. We're like, that's so unique, and like, but it still came off as a pop song. So for them to go against the grain and write something with a different structure and different chords, but still have a chart on billboards and still have it be a hit is just huge.
Goes to show you, man. Anything can work.
Yeah, it's almost as like, I mean, this song being a hit was almost as likely as a Jethro Tull song being a hit on in the 80s pop scene. But somehow, Tears for Fears made it work. You guys totally outdid yourself with this rendition. I typically don't like covers, because especially if Tears for Friggin' Fears, man, because this is one album from my childhood that I have the vinyl. I can pull it out and I can just put it on the record player and I can just sit there and just drift away and not worry about anything. I hold it so near and dear to my heart. And when you guys turn around and you just did it the hell up this well, I gotta say big props to you.
Thanks, man. I really, really appreciate that. Yeah, you know, when we first started, we were talking about doing an 80s EP and doing all 80s covers.
Okay.
So we're thinking about doing some Phil Collins as well. And then we're thinking about doing a 90s EP after that and doing some Fiona Apple and doing some Deftones and doing some random stuff. So we thought about a couple different things, you know, to do EPs, maybe like four or five songs each by decades. Nice. Because we're so influenced by so many different decades of music, and even going stuff that predates us, you know, going into the 70s, doing some Turtles and Stevie Wonder and doing some of that stuff too. So, you know, we're not really sure what we're going to do next, but that was kind of the first of probably a handful of covers that'll come out in the next year or something like that.
Yeah, nice. We lie on a very rich musical foundation that I think sometimes we take for granted. You know what I mean? Like even the stuff, like you said, that comes before us. We really don't take the time to like go back and appreciate that like the way it should be.
For sure. I totally agree with that, man. I totally agree.
Yeah. Now, you talk about an EP, you talk about new singles. Right now, there are only three songs mm-hmm. available to your fans right now. What can we expect from the future of Color Grave?
Yeah, so first of all, I'll talk to you about the philosophy of why we're releasing them as singles, you know? So anyone who's a musician out there listening, with the internet and with iTunes and with, you know, the attention spans of everybody just shortening and shortening, no one has the attention span for a full album anymore.
Well, you know, I do, but I'm the minority.
Well, let me give you this statistic. Sean Kingston, who's a pop reggae R&B artist, sold mm-hmm. 2.2 million copies of a single and only 50,000 copies of a record.
That sounds about right.
That's crazy.
So you're talking about a major artist with a major marketing budget of a major label can push this single to new heights but can't get 50,000 units off the shelf. There are independent bands who are moving 50,000 units off the shelf faster than Sean Kingston.
Exactly.
So if you look at, you know, the average person who's got, you know, the attention span of 8 seconds before they flip to another song, we're just trying to crank out there you go. D hamburger nuts raises her hand.
I have ADHD like no other. I'm sorry. I try. I really do.
Yeah. So for us, we were like, you know what? Let's ride out singles. Because if we release an EP, one single might really catch fire. But then we're going to have three other songs that might just kind of sit below it and get, you know, just shelved. They'll be sitting on the shelf for a while. So absolutely. Why not just put time and love into each, you know, song?
I agree.
If you pay attention to our Instagram or our Facebook, actually, you'll know that every single song is actually associated with a different color, which plays into our name, too. So if you actually go, you know, 2 years from now and look at our whole Facebook page or Instagram page, everything's going to be color-coded. So every single color is a different song.
Nice.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
Very cool. Now, do you do original music?
Yeah, we do, of course.
He asks knowingly.
Yeah, for sure. So the single, the original single that we had before the Head Over Heels cover is called Dylan and Me. And a lot of people are like, is that inspired by Bob Dylan? Or we're like, not really. It's inspired by Dylan Thomas, actually.
Oh, sweet.
He's a poet, a Welsh poet, that killed himself after drinking like 40 shots or something like that. and he's just a brilliant, brilliant poet. So we wanted to pay homage to that. So actually, 90% of the lyrics in this song are actually his poems rearranged in different orders.
Okay.
Sweet.
Yeah. Hey, Dee, do you want to hear a song about Dylan Thomas?
Hell yes. I'm right. Like entrapped by this. I just want to listen now.
All right. What about you, Josh? You ready?
Sure, man. I'm told them all ears.
All right. Well, we've got Dylan and Me up next on Prime. We are going to take a quick break just to thank our sponsors and the network that that we belong to, and that's Rogue Intel. So stay tight. We're going to do a quick promo, and then we'll come back, and we'll play Dylan and Me here on Prime.
Right.
Hey, guys, it's Shane from Now That I'm Older. I hope you're liking everything you're hearing on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network. If you are, go to rogueintel.com/Amazon for all your shopping needs. It's not going to cost you anything extra. It's not going to look any different. But every time you use that link, you're going to be helping out the Rogue Intel Podcast Network. So bookmark rogueintel.com/Amazon every time you need to buy something from Amazon. Thanks a lot.
Show your strength through me. do not do so mournfully. Lovers may be lost, but love will never be. Move as one, be the change, and refuse to be held down. Paint your life with light, dance the grief away.
Jesus, man,
that was tight.
Thanks, guys.
That was very tight. So, I really dig the stutter steps, like all the little stutter things that you do in the production. I love that, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that, man.
So you're the producer, I'm assuming.
I'm the producer, so I write all the instruments and produce and mix and write all the harmonies and just I make it pretty, I guess.
It's awesome, man.
Now, We've got one of the people in the chat room is saying that the harmonies sort of remind me of Within Temptation, and I can actually get behind that. If you've ever heard Within Temptation, they're I don't know, alternative metal.
But
really, really interesting harmonies, and I gotta say, like, you're right there with them. What style, what technique do you go for when you do your production, or do you just do what sounds right for the track?
That's kind of a really hard question to answer, but
I know that's why I asked it.
If I had to, we really try to do what's right for the track. The next song is a ballad. The first song was this kind of trip hop R&B pop song. This one's kind of more edgy, more rock. So this one is inspired, obviously, by that poet I was telling you about, Dylan Thomas. But in terms of production, it's actually inspired by the Dark Knight movie.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah. So
I can see that. I can definitely see that.
For sure.
I can see shit blowing up as
So to get totally, totally audio geek on you, if you watch The Dark Knight again, or ever get a chance to again, every time Heath Ledger appears on screen as the Joker, you're going to hear this high-frequency hum in the background.
Whoa.
All
now
right.
You're going to go make me watch it.
Yeah, and it makes you totally paranoid, right? So if you listen to our whole track front to back, we actually have a similar frequency hum that you don't really notice at all the music cuts out at the end, and it's just that Dylan Thomas quote. So there's this whole feeling of like discomfort and, you know, unease throughout the whole song, and we wanted to kind of pay, you know, homage to the Joker and the Heath Ledger role too. So the ending is just inspired by like old, you know, World War funeral marches. So you have to bring in those strings and like, you know, drum corps drums and marching drums. We just wanted to kind of just, you know, lay them to rest, you know, with our own music. So
And is that what that high frequency sound does? It gives you that feeling, like as you were saying in the movies.
Yeah.
Kind of, every time Heath Ledger was there, he played that high frequency. So it's kind of giving you this feeling of like, well, he's the bad guy. He's making me feel.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like the hairs on the back of your neck are standing, man. You know?
Exactly.
And that's kind of what you get when you read Dylan Thomas. So it does fit very, very well.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So that was the inspiration. But yeah, in terms of production, this one has a lot of metal influence, you know, obviously in that bridge too, with a little bit of screaming, a little of that kind of breakdown feel. And then it goes into that kind of somber, you know, orchestration at the end. So just whatever's right for the song, you know, there's no right or wrong for it. It's just, you know, what we feel is most appropriate. So
yeah. And you actually just got a new follower in me just now.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
I was going down, no problem. I was going down you guys' timeline, and I'm just noticing you guys are a fairly new band. You just had your first show a few weeks ago.
Yeah, well, we had our first show probably like in like March or April. We played another show a couple of weeks ago for sure. But you know, we spend most of our time just writing.
Okay.
You know, and
so
you know,
we're studio rats.
Yeah, definitely studio rats. You know, and then you know, with the goal of doing some soundtrack stuff. So we've been actually asked, you know, by a couple different people to do some soundtracks, to do some video games and shit like that.
So
we're gonna try to start producing beats. I've got a lot of like local hip hop guys in Boston who are like, "Yo, these beats are totally not hip hop, but I could rap over it." So make some beats.
Nice.
So
Come up, man.
So I've been working with a couple hip hop guys. Doing something heavy hip hop, you know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Go for it, man. Oh, you got my support, dude.
Thank you, man.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Now, like, here, the consensus of the chat room is stating that you should do more In Excess and more Depeche Mode covers and stuff like that. And yes, if you're going to do an 80s tribute EP, that's all well and good. But I would be totally content if you never did another cut. As much as I love 80s covers from Color Grave, rather, I'd be happy if you never did another cover again. Just keep doing this kind of stuff. This is amazing. Yeah.
It was, man.
Yeah, appreciate that, man. Appreciate
that. You guys are doing your thing. You guys are making some noise. So, like, do you guys tour often, or is that the next? Is that the plan to get some dates, or do you want to do
studio? So, like I said, we're 80s babies, so we are too old for that shit.
Right. Oh, come on.
No. So, I actually spent, like, 7 or 8 years before this touring in rock bands.
Sweet. Oh, okay. So, you got the whole tour bug out.
Yeah, I'm totally done with that. And Thomas too, you know. We both just love just writing, you know. So it's just kind of a pet project for us. If people catch on and is dope and people are feeling it, then yeah, that's cool, you know. But we're not gonna force it, you know. There's too many guys out there who are just like buying Facebook ads and just pushing in people's faces. I feel like, you know what, we're just gonna write music, and if you like it enough, you'll tell somebody else.
Yeah, it's true.
And it'll be all organic word of mouth, you know what I mean?
And that's what it's going back to.
Yeah. Definitely going back to that organic feeling again. It kind of feels like of a 90s type of vibe.
Yep.
As far as music goes, like, you know, having to really like build your act again and, you know, develop your act. It's kind of getting back to that again, where you can't just be like, "Yo, I'm from YouTube," and then just get on. It's beginning to change.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of just everybody wants to be famous so fast, man, you know.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, we did that. You know, we were signed. I mean, my previous band was signed to a major. We don't need to do that, man. Like, we just want to just write music. And if people dig it, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You begin to notice how constrictive things become with labels, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. D, what did you think of that song?
I liked it. I mean, it reminds me of something I was listening to earlier, because one of my friends' boyfriends does music producing and everything, and he kind of like randomly throws things at us, and she sends it to me, and while I'm at work, I just listen to it, and that just reminded me of one of the mixes that they did earlier this week, and it's just, I've really been getting into that kind of stuff with that sound, and I loved it.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, I really dug the almost electronica backbeat that you guys had with it, and then, like, like Josh said, 90s pop feel on the vocals.
For sure. Thanks. Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, Thomas's vocals are always just going to be Thomas's vocals. They're super clean. And you know what's weird about that? His voice is so high, but when you see him, he's 6'2", 220 pounds. The dude's a beast. You know, like, he might as well be a pro athlete. He's a monster.
Those are the weirdest combinations. Like, when you have the guys that doesn't look like he can do what he can do.
For sure. You know?
Yeah. So what's to come for Color Grave? Well, you guys don't want to tour, and I get that. I mean, look at the Beatles. From 1965 to 1970 when they broke up, do you know how many concerts they put on?
You're an encyclopedia, aren't you?
I try.
How would you even know that?
Well, I do, actually. So I'm asking you. How many concerts did the Beatles do between August 1965 and December 1970?
Start the chant.
Damn.
Take a guess.
I'm going to say 50.
D?
I don't even like the Beatles, so I don't know.
You're going to be muted for the rest of the episode.
Blasphemy?
That's pretty much it. Josh, how many do you think?
I'm going to say about like 200 to 300.
Between August 1965 and December 1970, they did one concert. And that was rooftop concert at Apple Studios, where they did not even charge. It was kind of an illegitimate concert, and they were actually unplugged about maybe 25, 28 minutes in.
So they never performed throughout the 60s?
Nope. Between 1965 and 1970, yeah. Their last concert was in August of 1965.
They were too busy doing drugs.
Right. They were too busy recording. They were studio rats, as you so eloquently put it.
Yeah,
recording on drugs.
Yeah, that you get the best music.
That's right.
I definitely respect what you guys do, and I severely need you guys to put out more stuff. What's to come? And I said this before, but I want you to go into it a little further. What's to come for the future of Color Grave in the studio?
Yeah, for sure. So we're actually going out to LA in 3 weeks to film a music video. So we found this dope producer and videographer in LA, and he is totally taking charge. We wrote the whole storyboard. We have all the cast. We have everything set. Yes. And I'll just put it this way. We're doing all of our filming in a desert between 1 a.m. and 6 a.m. for 4 days straight.
Seriously?
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty interesting.
So we're pretty much going to live in the desert for 4 days in a tent, and we're just going to film. And it's for an interesting song. It's certainly one that's not reminiscent of, you know, Dylan and Me or even Head Over Heels. It's actually a ballad, like I said. And it's just, you know, we want to get sensitive for all you people. You know? Okay.
Slow it down a little bit.
That's right.
So you're gonna go singing the Seal ballads.
Yeah. So we're gonna do "Kiss from a Rose," really.
Yeah.
And then you know, so we'll do that. And then you know, before the podcast started, we were talking about, you know, what's happening, and because we're so varied in our influences and backgrounds, we're actually gonna create the Color Grave A through Z. And what that is a riff and tribute to 26 artists. And you're going to have one single track, and it might be released at chunks at a time, but we're going to have an artist represent every single letter of the alphabet, and we're going to remix them in order. So the first track features Aaliyah as A, Beastie Boys as B, The Cardigans as C, Deftones as D, and so on and so on. So we're going to do... and every single artist for every single letter of the alphabet, and piece it together into one half an hour track.
I can't wait to hear that.
So my question for you is, and I'm sure your fans want to know this as well, what are you going to do for X?
Haven't gotten that far yet. We're not really sure yet. We were just thinking Z's the other day, too. We're like, who the hell can we do for Z?
Right. I was thinking about that when we first talked about it, like Z.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have an answer. We just finished C Cardigans, and we're going to see if we can transition that Love Fool song from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack into a Deftones track.
Cool.
That works.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll be interesting, to say the least.
That definitely works.
Mm-hmm. Pretty creative.
Yeah, but you know what we're really trying to do is trying to give everybody a new treatment, you know? So we're going to take two Aaliyah tracks and mash them up and put new music behind her. And then we're going to take, you know, the Beastie Boys song, and we're going to slow it down into a trap remix.
Okay.
And then the Cardigan stuff, we're going to turn into kind of like this electro house, like hard-driving pop song. So
awesome.
we just really want to take those vocals and reimagine them as if, you know, we were the producers behind those vocals.
Okay, nice.
I dig that, man.
Yeah. Now, I mean, people in the chat room are saying Z would be ZZ Top, but I'm thinking if you were going to go do a tribute album and you wanted to do 80s and 90s, maybe even early 2000s, you could always use Zwan, if you remember those jokers.
I sure do. Yeah.
Yeah, that was Billy Corgan's solo band after he was on hiatus from the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, and I think he had the guitar player from A Perfect Circle, too.
I believe he did, actually.
Yeah. So funny enough, I actually got to see Billy Corgan and Smashing Pumpkins a couple of years ago. So one of my good friends, Billy Moeller, bless his heart, he just worked on the new Lady Gaga stuff, and he was doing the AWOL Nation stuff. He was actually
Which album?
He did the first one.
Dude, I fucking loved the first album. The new album is good. The new album is good, but the first album was fantastic.
Yeah, it's so big and epic, and you know, he's got a platinum plaque on his wall for sale, which is totally crazy. But he was actually the bass player for Jimmy Chamberlain's band, the drummer of Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, nice!
Wow.
So when the Pumpkins were in town, he's like, "Oh, dude, go hang out with my mom and Billy Corgan at the show." I'm like, "What?"
That is awesome.
So I'm sitting next to his mom at the show, and we get backstage passes to meet Billy Corgan.
Fuck.
And here's the craziest part of the story is that we get back there, and Billy Corgan's wearing fluffy slippers, a bathrobe, and a cowboy hat. and he's talking to three pro wrestlers because he's huge into pro wrestling.
Wow, that sounds perfect.
Yeah, it was so weird, man. But Billy Corgan was just a super, super nice dude. Obviously, you know, hugely influential into 90s and even beyond that. And, you know, just an artist that we respect. So certainly he might make his way into S for Smashing Pumpkins.
Sweet.
Nice.
There you got your S right there.
There you go.
Well, there you go. I want to know something. You guys have a track on your SoundCloud page called Fever Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
What is that song all about?
Fever Dreams is interesting. It's about really just being tempted all the time and not having control. So if you flip on your TV, if you turn on, if you open up your Instagram, you look at your Facebook, there's always just sex thrown in your face.
I can agree to that.
And the song is about, man, it is really hard to stay faithful.
Yeah.
to the person you're supposed to stay faithful to when you're just always just, you know, being thrown into these sexual situations. So Fever Dreams is written into two perspectives. You know, the reality is that you wake up and you're with the person that you love, but every time you fall asleep, you're tempted by this other person. Yeah. So from Thomas's perspective, he wrote the song saying, "Look, I just can't fall asleep because every time I do, I dream about somebody else." And it's just about being tempted by something in your unconscious that you can't control.
Yeah.
It's a very honest
song. That's a
dope
concept.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, and it's, you know, definitely a shout out to, you know, his fiance and my wife. Like, you know, we are just so lucky, you know, and we've been in bands and we've toured. So it's like, yeah, you know, there are plenty of women around, and it's, how do you control that, and how do you control those urges? It's real tough, you know. So Fever Dreams is just about, look, you know, like, reality is way better than the dreams, you know. So let's just stay away from the temptation and just, you know, be with the one you love.
Yeah, very I can cool. dig that. But you know, also what's funny is, like, you being a writer or a producer, the higher you go, the more attention you're going to get anyway. So it's almost like you can never even escape it. It's always going to be there. It's almost like women can just sense a successful man. Like, so, like, you go into a restaurant, that you don't even have to be on television. It's like, that dude looks like he's rich. They're just gonna cling on to you.
You know, mine must be broken.
It's just confidence. You know, we can turn this into Love Line if you want to do that, but it's just confidence. It's confidence. You know, you walk into a room knowing that your shit is good, you feel good, and people recognize that, you know? So, like, that's the sexiest thing a woman and man can have. You know, you walk into a room and this woman just knows that her shit's good. It's like, man, she's attractive. You know, even if she's got a busted up nose, who knows?
Yeah,
man. Well, what do you say we play this song for everybody here? I did a short break so we could actually squeeze in three songs. I really want to play it. Are we allowed to play it?
Yeah, you're allowed to play it. Go for it, man.
All right. Well, this is Fever Dreams here on the Prime Podcast on Rogue Intel. You know, not to jerk your chain a little bit, but you know, hey, another great song.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
That sounds like it could be like at the end of like a movie or a show or something off of one of those dramas.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that too. It's crazy. For whatever reason, we've just been getting, you know, random asks, like I said, to do video games and soundtracks. So, you know, I'm working on this like 10-15 minute reel of just music so I can just send it to soundtracks, you know.
Nice. Awesome, man.
Yeah.
Now this next question is going to get ultra geeky, but I have to know, what do you use as a DAW?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I actually use Reason.
Okay.
Yep, I'm using Reason, and I actually do everything in Reason. Yeah, for sure. And I record everything into Reason, produce everything into Reason. The only thing I use separate outside of that is Ableton. Because
you use
I
that
like
for work. Drums, I'm guessing?
No, I actually use that for vocals.
Really?
Yeah. So I use Ableton for vocals because I really like their software and their editing capabilities for vocals. But actually, everything you hear on that track is done in Reason. So all of those drum files are triggered sounds of my own drum sounds in the studio. So I can go to a studio, record 4 or 5 drum sets, and get my samples, and then trigger my own samples into the song. Yep.
Beautiful.
That's one of the most genius things ever, too, like just to have that at your leisure.
For sure. Yeah, so really, if you think about it, you know, Color Grade is just me, Thomas, and my laptop. That's all we do.
Right. Hey, man, rock off. Do your thing, bro. Mm-hmm. Seriously, like, I use Reason in GarageBand or Reason in Logic.
Yep. Yeah, you know, we used to be a GarageBand band. You know, we did a lot of demos there, but just what you can do with Reason 8, and I'm not, you know, endorsed or anything by that, but, you know, they've been super, super good to me and in terms of product and helping out and giving us hardware and software. It's just a brilliant program. You can do anything.
It is.
Literally anything, yeah.
Reason changed my life. It's one of the most user-friendly tools ever. I will use Reason forever.
For sure. I agree with that, man. Yeah.
I've heard a lot of great things about Reason and Logic, but more Reason. I got to say, though, I'm a fan of Studio One by Personas.
So we use Studio One live, actually.
Do you really?
Yeah. So in terms of playing, you know, our songs live, we take our original track, strip all the vocals, strip the bass and drums, and use the rest of the, you know, music as a backing track, and then we incorporate live drums, live guitar, live bass, and live vocals.
Nice.
So we are using Studio One for that.
Gotta love Personas. The guys at Personas are really good, except for the fact that I just bought a FireWire interface that doesn't allow me to do everything I want. Meanwhile, the guy on pre-sales support said it would. But I'm making do. What can I say? It's still a great product. They still make a great DAW. I've used Studio One for about a year and a half now.
Yeah, also super user-friendly, really, really attractive and easy to use.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I want to thank you for letting us play your music tonight on the show. I've thoroughly enjoyed the tunes, and I know everyone out there on the live stream has as well. I can't wait to hear more from you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having us, too. I really appreciate it.
Definitely.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Now, I want to ask you a question. This is not related to Color Grave as a band.
Perfect.
Did you get a chance, and this is actually something that Josh put in the rundown, did you get a chance to check out the Democratic debate?
Yeah, and I actually posted something about that yesterday. And by check it out, I mean I heard about 30 seconds of it. being totally honest, every time that I heard Bernie Sanders, all I could think of was Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I was the only one.
he's so new. He's got that New York-y accent almost.
Yeah, man.
You know? And then
so
when you
strong.
Look at him, yeah, and then when you look at him, it's like, oh, shit, it's the guy from Seinfeld.
Well, yeah, see, I slightly resemble that remark because I am from New York originally. I turn off my accent unless I'm really shit-faced or really tired. And then all of a sudden you start hearing me talk like this.
There you go. Yeah, right.
That's all you heard last night.
you know, I don't really have any thoughts on the Democratic side, but I have plenty of thoughts on the Republican side. It's a shit show over there. It's pretty awesome.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Josh, did you get a chance to check it out? I totally missed it because I was out with a friend, Mark, Papio9, who usually hangs out in the chat room. I was out with him last night, and I had quite a few margaritas. So you were
talking pretty Bernie Sanders-ish last night.
I was talking like this pretty much the whole goddamn night.
Yeah, man, I checked it out. It was pretty good. It was basically the Hillary Clinton show featuring Bernie Sanders. And what's his name? Martin O'Malley. He made a pretty nice little surprise in there every now and then. He was the Maryland governor. And he actually looked very presidential. He looked very presidential, man. He kind of threw me for a surprise because I just didn't expect for him to be like that tight. And he was really tight. And there were two other losers nobody ever going to talk about. But those three, man, those are going to be the three I think they're going to go to the next level.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Martin O'Malley.
All right. So who do you think's going to win it? You think Hillary?
Oh, or? Hillary, hands down. Hillary, okay. Man. Hillary versus Donald Trump. It's going down.
Oh, dude, wouldn't that be such a great fight?
For the title. Ladder match.
Hilarious.
And they've been making a lot of publicity stunts, too. They've been on Hillary Clinton was on SNL this weekend. No, last weekend. Donald Trump was just on Jimmy Fallon a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So they've definitely been getting a lot of FaceTime the past few weeks.
Well, of course.
Hillary versus Donald. It's going down.
Yeah. Now, I like to point out the stupidity of humans. And we used to do a segment called Winners of the Week. Dee, you probably remember that, right?
Oh, God. It was the highlight of my week.
Well, I want to I want to kind of bring it back a little bit, and I want to talk about people who should be put down. Are we all game? I mean, now I don't know how everyone sits on the death penalty, but wouldn't it be nice to just take a little, you know, take a small fraction of these people we see out in the news and just like stick a gun down their throat and pull the trigger? Wouldn't that be great?
Sure. Why not?
I'm with it. Let's do it.
All right. The first person who I feel should be put down is and I'm laughing over this one. Donut driving Deborah Lloyd. This story comes out of the Huffington Post, and it is a video that shows this Gastonia, Georgia woman doing donuts in a four-way intersection, eventually hitting a police officer, and then doing another couple of donuts, hitting the police officer again, hitting a civilian passenger or a civilian driver just driving along, and then hitting a second cop before careening into a ditch. And then, of course, getting arrested. She wasn't killed, unfortunately. I really wish she would have been. But you can check out the full article and the hilarious video on our website, rogueintel.com. But and here's the thing I didn't mention. The entire
she was
time,
high off cocaine?
No, she wasn't. At least so the story says. The entire time she's sitting there doing donuts for like 10 minutes. In an intersection, she's got her hand out the window and doing a rodeo thing.
She had to be half cocaine, man. I mean, it sounds like the only thing to me. Had to be.
Yeah, a family member of the suspect, which Fox 8 identified as Deborah Lloyd, told the station that Lloyd was bipolar and off her meds. Still, I don't care. I think that this type of person should be just put down. Now, she was flipped around a little bit. When she careened into a ditch, she kind of flipped her car and then was just pulled out of her car by two police officers and essentially handcuffed and manhandled. Like, can't we just kill these fuckers? Like, what do you contribute to society?
Nothing.
YouTube videos.
That's it. And gifts. Make a gift.
Yeah, that's it. That's right. And I mean, right.
That's it, man. I mean, because tomorrow we're not going to be talking about this. This is stupid. And, like, I think accidents and dumb news stuff is becoming more and more of a story. For some dumb reason, I'm still trying to figure out why. Like, they're always, like, a new news story where something happens at the news. Like, you had the fucker right in the pussy guy. And then you had like other people that were just doing crazy shit on like news stories. It's just about the news now, like some freaky news stuff.
It's, you know what it is? It's not even news. It's just entertainment. It's a distraction from real news, you know?
Exactly. What's really going on? And that's always a story, because who really cares about this?
Right.
There's probably an accident in Boston today. There's probably an accident in Baltimore today. There's probably an accident in all different parts of Maryland. Why is this important?
Yeah.
Right. She had to be high off cocaine. I'm telling you, that's the only reason.
You know, coming from someone who has been high off cocaine, you wouldn't see me doing this type of shit. I mean, I'd
be more of a risk taker.
I have a checkered past. I'll let you know now.
Okay.
But I would never do something as idiotic and maniacal as this. So with that, Deborah Lloyd, she gets my number one spot for people who should be put down.
Nice.
And it's being said that we should call this segment Thin the Herd. So
nice.
Might be some food for thought right there. Number two on the list for this episode is a New York woman who sues her 12-year-old nephew over a hug that broke her wrist.
Yes.
Did you hear this story?
No, but this is just awesome. I already love it.
Yeah. Human resources manager Jennifer Connell claims nephew acted unreasonably when he leapt into her arms and welcomed her to his eighth birthday party.
What?
It gets better. A Manhattan human resources manager is suing her 12-year-old nephew for leaping into her arms when he welcomed her to her to his eighth birthday party. The aunt Jennifer Connell claims that the nephew acted unreasonably when the exuberant greeting caused her to fall and break her wrist.
Is this like a math problem?
One would think, but no. She is seeking $127,000 in damages from the boy whose mother died last year.
Oh, that's messed
that's
up.
That's why. Yeah. She has that $127,000.
Yeah.
She wants it. That's what it's about.
Right.
That's the story.
I am sorry. And here's the thing. He had been riding his first two-wheeled bicycle when it was during his birthday, and Connell arrived and he dropped it. And she says, "I remember him shouting, 'Auntie Jen, I love you.' And then he was flying at me." He's an 11-year-old kid. Now 12. I mean, this is just the kind of shenanigans that a kid gets into. You have to brace yourself.
Yeah, this is kind of weird to me. Just because under any other circumstance, would you sue him? Like, say he only had $100 into his name. Would you sue him then? Like, it seems like there's kind of a reason behind this whole suing situation.
Who's to say how much money he's got in his bank account? I don't know. If his mom had life insurance and now she's passed on, who knows? But still, $127,000 for a broken wrist that was due to her own stupidity leads me to believe that she should, in fact, be put down.
Yes.
All right. And this one might hit close to home for Rob B. Have you ever thought of paying for a handful of dead leaves?
Oh, God, no. No, let's hear it.
All right. Now, during the snowpocalypse of last year in the New England area, Kyle Waring of Somerville, Massachusetts, set up the website that sold boxes of snow. Do you remember that? Does it ring a bell?
I remember that.
I think, Dee, you and I might have reported on it back in the day when this was going on. Here's the thing. He's at it again. He set up a website called shipfoliage.com earlier this year and began sending out his first packages of hand-picked leaves to U.S. customers this week. He's gotten over 200 sales so far.
Come on.
Why?
Wait, so this guy's in Somerville?
Yeah, this guy's in Somerville.
I'll just go down the street and kill him right now.
Exactly. Please do it for me.
Yeah. Please, like, do it in the name of Prime.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
You got
do it in the name of common sense. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. According to shipfoliage.com, Kyle offers bundles of three leaves, red, yellow, and green, ranging from 3 to 6 inches in size. The leaves are preserved in a mixture of glycerin and water and then shipped. Now, yes, this would be great for an art project if you lived in fucking Miami.
Yeah, this is amazing.
But
isn't it crazy how they can make everything sound so like wanted and so intriguing, like with the water and the shipping's packed in them? Like, this is, these are leaves. Like, why would anybody want to buy this stuff?
I have no
I can go outside clue. And pick leaves right now.
Now, how much would you pay for a box of leaves preserved in glycerin and water?
5 cents.
All right. What about you, Rob?
He'd have to pay me $5 to take it.
Exactly.
I like that answer better.
My sentiments, exactly.
Yeah, well, people are actually paying $19.99 for this box.
For three leaves?
For three bundles.
Should you change your answer to killing all those people who are dumb enough to buy that?
Actually, you are right on the money. Cameron in the chat room says, hey, nothing wrong with a guy making money selling snow or leaves. If the people are dumb enough to buy it, I say go for it. If I thought I could sell something like that, I would. The people who should be put down are the ones buying it.
I'm with you.
As long as the fools keep buying it, you keep selling.
Yeah.
So, can I actually nominate someone to be thinned from the herd?
Oh, you can, Rob. You can.
Right, I love it. So, I'm going to read the story real quick. So, recently, a man in Algeria is suing his new wife for fraud, trauma, and physiological suffering after seeing her for the first time without makeup.
Wow. Is she a Kardashian?
She's not.
Are we sure?
And he quotes, he said he was deceived by her as she used to fill up her face with makeup before their marriage. And she looked very beautiful and attractive before marriage, but when she woke up in the morning and found that she had washed the makeup off her face, he was frightened and he thought she was...
Ouch.
That probably happens a lot nowadays.
So here's the craziest story. Actually, a guy in China won a lawsuit last year because this woman had all this plastic surgery done, and he won on charges of fraud.
Nice.
Wow.
Because they had kids, and he's like, well, these can't be our kids because I'm good looking and she's good looking. That. But these kids are ugly.
Oh, I remember that. I totally remember that.
Story.
Yeah, that's totally fucked up.
Did he win?
Yeah, he won in China. Yeah.
What? That is amazing.
Yep. So now he's got these ugly kids and a divorced wife.
Nice.
That's fucking beautiful.
I'm just, I don't know. I think we need to raise a prime fund for thinning the herd, and that fund should include bullet money.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah.
Go on down to Walmart, get you some bullets.
Right.
Yeah, I really don't know what to say about that other than I think these people should be put down and we should thin the herd. There's nothing else to say about that.
No, there's none. Stupid is as stupid does.
So, Dee, what are you getting into this week?
Let's see. Besides working, I'm getting my hair done hopefully Friday.
Are you going to go back to blonde?
I'm going back to blonde in the front and the rest black again.
Yes! Do the skunk.
Yeah, this blue hair is a mixture of brown and puke green, and I can't deal with it anymore.
Well, shit, you've had the blue hair since what, May?
November. Yeah, I guess it... Yeah.
Because you were still hosting on this show as a regular host back when you got your hair did up.
Yep, and then I added more.
Aha. Uh-huh. Rob, are you going to get your hair dyed anytime soon?
No, I'm not going to do that. This week, I'm going to do jack shit. I'm going to binge watch and catch up on Leftovers. I'm going to watch some True Detective. I'm going to get caught up in all my shows because we've been so busy. I'm going to do that, and then we're working on some more music. That's it.
Nice.
Hell yeah, man.
So when can we expect to hear the next new single from Color Grave?
You're probably going to hear it in 2 or 3 weeks with a video to follow for that song the 2 weeks after that.
The ballad.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. And I will send it to you so you can get a sneak preview.
Nice. And we'd love to have you on the show again.
Yeah, for sure. I would love to do it.
And next time, bring Thomas along, because we'd love to hear his take on the recording and production process.
Yeah, he sends his love. He is currently in Idaho somewhere.
Nice. Awesome. Definitely the hoe.
Yeah.
So, Josh, what you getting into this week? Any new music?
Yeah, man. Just still working on some music. You know, still putting some stuff out there. You know, just giving out my positive vibes. That's all.
Good to hear.
Yo, Josh, send me some tunes, man. Send me some music.
Will do. You got an email or something? Or what are you doing when we get off?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. I don't sweat.
Well, he's actually on SoundCloud, so you can check him out there.
Oh, I love it. Yo, so Josh, plug your own SoundCloud. What is it?
It's soundcloud.com/JSmusic. Music spelled MUZIC.
There you go. Nice. I'm checking it out after this.
Awesome.
Right. Rob, now it's your turn. Plug your shit, man.
Yeah, of course. So you can find us at Colorgrave on pretty much everything. So soundcloud.com/Colorgrave. You can go to facebook.com/Colorgrave. Same with Twitter. Same with Instagram. It's all Colorgrave.
Nice.
Because there are no other assholes in the world named Colorgrave.
Dope.
Very cool. Well, I want to let everyone know that you guys have been listening to the Prime Podcast on Rogue Intel. If you want to check us out, you can go to rogueintel.com/prime. You can go shopping, do some shopping at Amazon by going to rogueintel.com/Amazon. You'll give us a little bit of money, and you don't have to actually give us anything. Amazon just, hey, you got these guys to shop on our site, so here's some cash. You can always call us, leave us a message, 410-989-1734. And we're on Stitcher, we're on iTunes, we are everywhere you want to be, including Facebook and Twitter and everything. Everywhere else. You can send us an email on prime@rogueintel.com. And hey, D, what time is it?
It's time to say Auf Wiedersehen.
On behalf of everyone here at Rogue Intel, this has been Prime.
Peace.